Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise God for this time, these few moments we share together every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And as I frequently mention, if you miss a broadcast or would like to rehear one, then please feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you may click on the broadcast, and they are archived there for your listening convenience. Praise God. Well, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at that beautiful passage found in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 13. And let me share that again with you. He learned to live above his circumstances, and I'm quoting now, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He was not affected by what went on around him because his inner man, his inner life, he had learned to walk with Christ. And that's, you know, if we live in the Spirit, which we do, we've been born again, we also should walk in the Spirit. And that implies being able to live above our circumstances, that we won't be as a wave of the sea, unstable, just driven by whatever winds blow our way, but we will be able to have that peace that passes all understanding. Of course, you know, there are things we have to collect ourselves, but we're not going to, we may be stunned, we may be upset, but we don't have to stay there. Once we can regain our equilibrium, if you will, in Christ, I'm not implying that we're emotionless, that we're not responsive. Of course, we're going to react to the things around us, to circumstances, but we will not let them bring us down. We might be surprised by something, but we're say, okay, no, I'm not going to let this bring me down. I'm going to trust Christ. That's why the Word tells us, bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And whatever cares, whatever petitions, we can cast our cares upon Him. And whatever we desire when we pray, we lift those needs and we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find the grace and the help that we need in our time of need. And so what we're talking about is a place in God where we're not going to be tempest-tossed. We're not going to be driven by the storms of life. But Jesus is our anchor, and we will not be moved. But didn't Paul say that? He said, I'm not moved by these things. Hallelujah. He was willing to go to Jerusalem and did to face death if necessary. He felt he had a purpose, he had a reason for going, and he was not going to let the enemy discourage him in any way. So this passage I've shared, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, he was basically saying, Paul was, you know, he's saying, I'm happy, I'm content in the face of all kinds of circumstances. And, you know, when he wrote this epistle to the Philippians, he was in jail. Even though he was in jail, this epistle rings with faith and joy. Why? Because he did not let himself be robbed of his faith and joy in Christ. In chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, he states, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." You see, he understood that all things work together for good. There was a purpose in it. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace." Can you imagine that? "And in all other places. Even though The Apostle Paul was in prison. He didn't let his situation get him down. He praised God for every battle or in every battle and trusted the Lord to deliver him. He triumphed over every work of Satan that was thrown against him. In Jesus Christ, the bad basically was turned to good, and a great testimony came out of it. Now, God's no respecter of persons. What he did for Paul, even though he had a great mission, and in fact, you know, if he had not been in prison, if he had traveled as much like he wanted to go to Spain and never made it, we might not have these beautiful, eternal, priceless words that he penned to the various churches had he been free and at liberty to go as he chose. Paul knew what it was to be poor. He knew how to enjoy prosperity. And in every experience that he was faced with, plenty or hunger, prosperity or want, he never let his situation rob him of his joy in Christ. Now, please, when we read scriptures like that, sometimes we think, well, he just went around smiling. No, sometimes we can actually be mourning, but inside we have a peace and we have a joy. You know, we're to commiserate, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So we're not emotionless. We're not robots or automatons that just, okay, program peace, program joy. No, we're very human. God wants us to glorify him in our emotions, but our emotions can't run us. They can't dominate. Our feelings can't dominate where we are at spiritually, but our spirit man takes control of the things that we do have to face every day. You know, that's why the Lord said, you know, just sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't, I mean, while it is a certain amount of planning is necessary, don't be thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. Focus more on the present, your daily tasks for this day. This day is the Lord, is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it, right? That's something I'm trying to do. Amen. Praise God. All right. Paul knew what it was to be poor, and he knew what it was to enjoy prosperity. And beloved, the poverty which Paul did face, it didn't last very long. And the reason he was victorious was he knew how to trust God to supply all of his needs. So he might have been in need, but that did not mean that was his perpetual and continual situation and state. No, he also saw the provision of the Lord. And you know, there's some today who believe, when you quote these scriptures, that is just proving their point to tell others to be content and happy with their sickness, with their poverty, with their circumstances. But beloved, if you balance and read the whole Word of God, the entire Word of God, you will find, you just can't pull out one scripture, you'll find that the scriptures balance one another. What the Apostle Paul was talking about, living above his circumstances, was so that he could believe God to supply every need, and God never failed him. And I wonder why so many ministers sometimes read these few verses of scriptures as if they were the whole of the Bible. Not so, my friends. Listen to what Paul, the same Paul who said he could be content through hunger or feast, through want or prosperity, is the same one who wrote in Philippians 4:19, is that a familiar passage? But my God shall supply all your need. All, how much? All, beloved, all of your need, brother, all of your need, sister. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Beloved, we haven't plumbed the depths of the riches of in glory of Christ Jesus. He has more to give us than we could possibly imagine. But so often we limit him by our unbelief or by our small thinking. We should begin to start asking him for great things. But, you know, let's start with our own lives. Let's start with desiring to walk in a continued state of peace and joy. And when we can get through, you can be sure God will move, and you won't stay in that place of need or want for long, because you've learned a lesson that the Apostle Paul learned through great and sore trials, through the experiences he went through. Because when he wrote these passages, he had gone through the trial, he'd gone through the suffering, and he had learned that his God was more than able. Remember, there was a song we used to sing, "He is able, He is able, my God is able to carry me through." Amen. Praise God. I won't sing it for you, but I trust you may be familiar with it. And, you know, sometimes God allows us to face want so that we can have the glorious privilege of trusting Him to supply every need. Make no mistake, beloved, we are in warfare. We're fighting a war, and this war is to the death. Either death will come to our flesh nature, and we will put on Christ, or we'll just give up in weakness and weariness and lose the battle and perhaps really die. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 11, listen to this, as if you've never heard it before, "We are troubled on every side." He wasn't exaggerating. He wasn't telling, an amplification of his troubles. He was speaking the truth. He could not lie. "Yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down." He was cast down, beloved, but not destroyed, he said, "always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, but the life also of Jesus Christ might be manifested in our mortal flesh." And beloved, that is my prayer for you, for myself, for the body of Christ, that the life of Christ will be manifested. We are to be little versions of Jesus, if you will, with His love, His compassion, and the same Holy Ghost anointing and power which He has given to us through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost so many centuries ago. He's not diminished in power. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. I love you, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. Know that I pray for you personally every day, for my partners and those that write in. I pray personally, believing God for great victories. I love you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.